Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show. The show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. We're coming off of we're recording this early, so it's actually the day after our release. Some people did not wait till the end of the episode. It appears.
Some people did wait to the end of the episode and yes. Are like, hey, I can't tell if this was an April Fool's joke or not. And I'm like, maybe you should re-listen to the last 10 minutes.
it shows you like how passively we listen to podcasts because we talk about it. Like, it's not just April Fool's and then move on. It's, we're like, oh, wow, that was fun. It was a fun April Fool's Day.
Yeah. You mentioned it several times at the end.
Yeah. So, that is funny. Yeah, no, people, there are some people that just did not get the memo. So we're going to start this one right off the bat and let you know last week was a April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Multiple messages.
Yeah.
How are you going to do a Shining episode without talking about The Shining?
I mean, it's scary that people think that that is something we could fucking do. Do an hour and 10 minutes. I do think it was like, I was thinking about it afterwards, and I do think it was, I don't want to say like flawlessly done, but we somehow kept the rhythm of an episode to the point where people were like, what the fuck? Like, that's what was upsetting, was like, it sounded like an episode.
Yeah, right. I wish that, I wish that was our gimmick, like, for every all week. Just choose a movie that we're going to talk about and then just never actually get to it.
That would be awesome. I always had this plan. Well, we could discuss that later. I don't want to discuss it.
What? Wait. Is it your plan to leave?
Yeah.
Just pack it. Just because that was your plan. Like from like episode two, you had told me that one day we should just get. This is nuts, actually, to say out loud, because it was so early on when you pitched this to me that one day we should just gain enough followers and then delete all of our socials, like change our names, and no one will ever hear from us again.
Wait, no, not that one. Although that's pretty good. That's insane. No, my other one was we decide to end the show, and. Because back in the day when we'd miss an episode, I would like try to record something or even just record like, hey, we didn't make anything this week, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I always thought it would be hilarious if we were like, okay, we're done with the show, and then proceed to like just put in the can like 600 recordings
like over the span of like a few weeks or months even, and just be like, hey, sorry, and come up with an excuse every week and be like, we'll be back next week with a new episode. So like, hang in there and just make it a perpetually delayed show. And every week have an episode where it's like,
so the 600 ones would just be like a 5-minute thing of being like, oh man, sorry. Like, yeah, you know, coming up with an excuse. Yeah. That's brilliant. I love that.
that was always like in my heart, I was like, oh my God. And then there was a point where I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just make it as a show of in and of itself and just call it the perpetually delayed podcast. And just every week, it's just an excuse for why you're not doing the podcast.
Oh man, that's good. And then there was another one that we pitched when we first started, because we're so fucking old that at the time that we first started was the time when like show recaps first started happening.
That's true.
It wasn't really a thing, and we pitched doing how did this get made, how did this, wait, what was the word, how did we phrase it, how did this get made, and we just reviewed every how did this get made episode. So stupid.
No, that's actually genius. That's fucking genius. Well, speaking of, oh no, remakes of remakes, no, remakes. So we did not do The Shining last week.
No.
As I mentioned at the end of the episode, which by the way, yeah, again, like if you listen to the whole episode, I don't know how you didn't realize, because I literally went on a tangent about how it would be almost impossible for us to do The Shining, I feel like, as a legitimate episode, just because of all the background and all that stuff. And by the way, there's no Shining episode I think that people would be happy with us putting out. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a beloved movie, and it's...
Yeah, but we've done good stuff recently.
I know, but I feel like this has, like, such an artful following.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine Paul's fucking take on us dissecting it? It wouldn't be good, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be tough. I think it would be a tough movie to do, to give it its due diligence, because there's just so much information, so many theories, and so much stuff. Hey, but we got something better. The Shining, 1997.
It's funny you voice that concern about a podcast, because they didn't cast Jack Torrance until like 3 days before shooting, which is true. Steven Weber wasn't cast like 3 or 4 days before, because every other person that they approached was like, I'm just going to get compared to Jack Nicholson, and I'm not doing that to myself.
That's actually fucking hilarious. Because like, man, I'm not the biggest Jack Nicholson fan, but he has that impact, right? Like, I feel like no one wanted to do the Joker either.
Right.
Because of that. Because he was just so good. I mean,
there's only one person on Earth that didn't love The Shining, and it was, you know, the guy that wrote it. The guy that's behind this. So.
The guy that's behind this. Jack's- now, let's talk about that. I was going to save this for later when we get into the character of Jack in this movie for a minute, but Stephen King's whole fucking thing was the way that Jack seemed unhinged prior before to coming to The Shining. Hey,
yes,
I'll tell you something. Steve Weber might be more unhinged than Jack Nicholson.
Sean, I wish I could share my screen right now, because that is like the note that I took to go over with you. Because that was Stephen King's like biggest complaint with the original.
Yeah.
And this one shows more of like the family dynamic prior to getting to the hotel. And like you said, what a fucking psychopath. Like, it shows, dude, he beats the shit out of a student for slashing his tires, breaks his son's arm, which, like, it's alluded to in the first one, right? But, I mean, this one you watch him do it, and you're like, this is an insane man.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, like, so right before I watched this, I was just thinking about that whole thing and Stephen King's beef with him, and I was like, maybe it was just because like Jack Nicholson looked crazy from the beginning, because he just always looks insane.
He just does.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, maybe that's, I don't know, like maybe that was his issue with it. I actually think Steven Weber is creepier and more insane just in looks, because he's so mild-mannered and normal.
Yes.
And then it cuts to him being like, you fucking worthless piece of shit, and like beating the shit out of his kid or beating the shit out of a student, and you're just like, what the fuck, this is terrifying. And these are all flashbacks, so you're like, oh well, that doesn't happen anymore.
It does
immediately. Night one in the house, and he slams his head, whatever, we'll get to it. But anyway, I had to like jump on that out of the gate.
You had brought them up last episode, and I did actually find an episode of Postmortem where they had Steven Weber on and that they talked to him. I didn't finish it, and like, it was a lot of good information, but since we're doing it in three parts, it's kind of like useless, because I would be talking about stuff from part three.
Yeah,
but I bring this up to say, I think Steven Weber seems like a very awesome person. Like, yeah, like he knows what he was in. He had fun doing it.
Yeah.
And honestly, Mick seemed like he had fun doing it too. So it honestly, like I respected them a lot more.
I'll ask you that question in a second. But yeah, Steven Weber, I was like obsessed with him as a kid, because I would watch Wings with my
Wings.
With my grandfather. I loved Wings.
Biggest Wings fan. Wings had a stacked cast.
Dude, we Wings did like, have a stacked cast. Monk.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Sideways. Just referred to it. Also, wait, I think we've talked about this on the show before. I think we've talked about Wings before. Because I watched an episode of Wings semi-recently. And I was like, man, good old Wings. Let me see what that was about. Because I loved Steven Weber. And I watched it. And Steven Weber's entire shtick in that was like making fun of women. And I think like heavier women. He like, this whole episode, he had like four jokes in one episode. I was like, this is a little fucking weird. It's a little fucking weird for the humor. Like, I don't even understand this. Like, I think I just turned it off. I was like, you know what? Best left unrewatched. But as a kid, I fucking loved it. But that, okay, so the cast, you had Steven Weber, obviously. Did you want to talk about him or no?
I think we did. All I wanted to bring up was Wings. I honestly can't tell you anything else Steven Weber's.
Tony Shalhoub. Steven Weber did, he was in Tales from the Crypt. He read the book for It.
Okay.
Also, do you remember that cartoon Duckman?
I do remember Duckman.
Fun fact, he appeared in two episodes as his Wing character and Duckman. Fucking the crossover of the century.
Why did that happen?
I don't know.
Wings Duckman?
I don't know. Also, I have every episode of Duckman on Plex. Just
do you?
Yeah.
Done.
I absolutely do. What else was he in? Let's see if there's anything else good to talk about. Oh, he showed up in Monk. That must have been
another fun crossover.
Another crossover, and still on the USA Network. So I hope USA was like, guess who's back together?
Dude, that's definitely how the commercial was pitched, right?
Remember these two guys?
The union of a lifetime.
The USA Network shows bugged me out. They really bugged me out. They were just like so weird. What was that one? What's the one with the lawyers?
Suits?
Suits. He was in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Wait, yeah. The show or the series? Oh, that's
the animated movie.
He was in the movie too. He was in Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Okay. Leslie Nielsen is Dracula.
A classic. That's, you know, he was a TV guy. He was a TV guy. What can I say?
Also, I'm not going to speak for you, so feel free to correct me. But if you're stalling for time by listing all the actors' movies, I'm all for it. Because episode one of this, which, by the way, I kind of liked. But
I do too.
It's very much just setting up for all the events that are going to happen.
There's a setup. I got some stuff to talk about. And I already looked at this, but oh, you know what else he was? He's become the new Alfred Pennyworth in like all the animated.
In the animated, yeah.
That's like right. In all iterations of it, which I always think is interesting. Once you get locked into a animated Batman character, you're in it for life. It was like Mark Hamill with the Joker.
That's right.
That's fucking crazy. Anyway, no, I'm not.
Batman crossover, we get the Michael Keaton Commissioner Gordon. In this episode,
Michael. Engel. Oh,
guy who plays Commissioner Gordon in those movies he's in this.
Oh, that's crazy! I did not.
This guy's blowing his fucking nose into a handkerchief for every scene that he's in. And if you pull up his Wikipedia page, he's holding a handkerchief, dude.
I just
biggest,
pulled it
biggest
up.
Handkerchief fan of all time.
Biggest handkerchief fan of all time. Yeah, so I actually was gonna save some of it because we have three episodes to cover this, so we don't want to give it all away here. But now it's interesting. So as we mentioned, Stephen King hated the movie, so he finally was like, I want to get this remade, and in order to do it, he had to get, which this is why Hollywood is so fucking weird. He had to get Stanley Kubrick's permission because he adapted the story. So then you have to readapt it, even though you're the fucking author of it.
That's nuts.
It's fucking crazy that you have to go to somebody else and be like, can I make a movie about my book? And Kubrick said yes, under one condition, that Stephen King no longer make fun of or disparage the original Shining film that he made, except the only thing he was allowed to say is that he was disappointed in Jack Nicholson's portrayal of Jack Torrance. That was the only thing Stanley Kubrick said he was allowed to say. Everything else he...
That's honestly the most fair thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
And really thinking about it, I wonder if Stanley Kubrick was like, let him say everything he wants about Jack Nicholson's performance because that's what the fucking book said. And then Mick Garris proved it in episode one of this. Like, he's like, yeah, let Stephen King keep saying that and then put out his movie because the guy's fucking nuts before he gets to the hotel. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He was probably like, yeah, okay, you keep talking that shit. Let everyone see how nuts you are.
Now, I had a little gimmick for you, if you don't mind. I was going to do this at the start of, because it's a three-part series, right?
Yes.
So at the start of every episode, I was going to do this, but
okay.
you know, I'll forget come episode two. So this will be the one and only time. But based off episode one, I'm only going to do four of these.
Okay.
Steven Weber, upgrade or downgrade as Jack Torrance?
Ooh, I love this game. Sorry, I'm putting on my do not disturb. I feel like that's hard to say in episode one.
Okay. All right.
Cause so far I like it. So far I like it. And it might be an upgrade because Jack Nicholson truly looks fucking nuts. Like truly is fucking insane looking from the moment you meet. Dude, the job interview, he's just like fucking his eyebrows are moving. You're like, no one would hire this fucking guy. It looks fucking nuts. So I don't know. I kind of like Weber's more grounded Jack at the beginning, but the payoff is, you know, going crazy. What's he going to look like when he goes nuts?
Okay. After episode one, I say downgrade, but I don't dislike him. Okay. So, all right. So you're kind of neutral on downgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rebecca De Mornay as Wendy, upgrade or downgrade?
Upgrade.
Huge upgrade for me.
Yeah.
Because in the book, Wendy's like a strong-willed character.
Yeah. Yes. I'd read about that.
She stands up to Jack right off the bat in episode one.
That's true. You know what else is weird was when I was watching the original, I thought it was so weird. Fuck. They're having a conversation in the car going up to the Overlook. And what the fuck is that kid talking about? Danny is talking about something insane. And Jack Nicholson's like, yeah. And like explaining something. I forget what it was. Was it like cannibals or so? Oh, it was the Donner Party. And Danny's fucking like 6 years old. And Jack Nicholson's like, the Donner Party just ate each other. And Danny's like, I know what cannibals are. And like Wendy is just like, oh, that's crazy. Like, I was expecting it to cut to her and be like, Jack, you can't fucking say that. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, what a hoop. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And it's vastly different in this with Wendy, like, constantly being like, hey, can you, like, not fucking do that in front of my fucking kid? Right.
She stands her ground with him.
Yeah.
Which, like, Shelley Duvall's character is great as, like, for lack of a better term, a damsel in distress. So she's screaming the entire movie and like adds to the atmosphere of like how hopeless they are. But I like Rebecca so far after episode one.
Yeah.
She's a better Wendy. Now you already mentioned him. Courtland Mead as Danny Torrance, upgrade or downgrade?
Joe. I have a similar question for you, but it's different. I mean, it's a fucking downgrade.
It's the downgrade of all downgrades.
I don't think there's any recovery. I feel like we may see some fluctuation as the episodes go on. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like, I feel like we might be like, oh, he's actually better in this one or he's lower than this one. I have a feeling that this motherfucker is going to be, he's going to sweep the series.
Dude, so our first run, for those that have only come into us recently, we used to like pick apart kid actors, right? And I don't know, maybe it's my old age. Like I go back and I watch things that I was like, man, that child actor sucked. And now I'm like, what the fuck is my problem? Like he's fine. He's a kid. Like what is his problem? Hey, this child actor fucking sucks. This kid, get him off the screen.
I had a note in here. I'm just going to pull it up now because we're talking about it. I was talking about this kid and I wrote like a couple of jokes about him. And I was like, hey, remember that guy that wrote us a review? And I was like, these guys are so fucking mean. I was like, maybe this might actually be it. I was like, maybe he heard a couple episodes where we did this. But I was going to ask you, which Danny would you rather have as your child?
Oh, original Danny.
Yeah. So you would kill this Danny.
That wasn't how you worded the question.
We got to take a quick
joy break. Being around him. Oh, wait, no, I had one more.
Oh, yes. That will take
sorry.
No.
Dick Halloran, which Melvin Van Peebles or Scatman Crothers.
I mean, I think I like what they're doing with Dick in this movie. Like, I like his setup and stuff a little bit better.
Same.
Great. I don't think the actor is, it can't. I love Scatman Crothers in that movie. He's great.
I agree. Melvin's great, and I like his take on it, but yeah. Scatman.
Yeah.
Scatman's the best character in The Shining, in my opinion.
He's the only one that you, like, can tolerate on screen for, like, more than a few minutes. Everyone else is a fucking maniac. You're like, Jack Nicholson comes on, you're like, ah, fuck. Shelley Duvall comes on, you're like, ah. The kid shows up.
Also, sorry, this just dawned on me. Elliot Gould makes an appearance in this, and he is like a fantastic actor in anything he's ever been in, and somehow delivers like the worst line reads of anybody in this entire movie. When I saw him, I was like, that guy looks like Elliot Gould, except he can't act. And I was like, oh, that is Elliot Gould. That's insane.
And that guy's been in everything, for those of everything. You that
yeah.
are thinking about. He was in American History X, Bridge Too Great. Far. Yeah, he's awesome. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Elliot Gould is very odd in this. He plays the Stanley owner, the owner of the Stanley, or I'll tell you what, Stephen King loves to get in the weeds of things when you make it exactly to his book, you feel the book. You can feel it, right? Like this, The Shining, the movie, doesn't feel like Stephen King.
Right.
This feels like Stephen King. The fucking flashbacks.
It does.
The fucking dialogue.
That's why I think miniseries work better for King. If you want a faithful adaptation for a King book, because his books have so much details to the point where that's almost a criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people love the book It, and it's many people's favorite. I'm a Stephen King fan. I've read almost all of them. I can't stand It because of how much details. The book is 1,200 pages. The motherfucker could have made it 350 if he wanted to. Like, you don't need to describe everything in that much detail. Like, give me a parade.
And you can feel it in this, too. You could feel it because when you meet Elliot Gould, character, he owns the thing and he's hiring Steven Weber to be the groundskeeper. He's telling you far too much information. He could have just been the owner of the Overlook. No one would have thought anything, but he was telling us about the board of the directors, and you actually find out that he's not the owner. He's some person involved in this giant mechanism that owns the Overlook, and there's board of directors, and you're just like, what is that? Why do I fucking give shit about this? But it felt like Stephen King. It felt like Stephen King for sure because of that. But, and that's, again, not a knock. It's just a different vibe.
Agreed.
I'll save the ratings for next week. I want to talk about the ratings because it was kind of nuts how high this was rated. Well, not how high it was rated, how like the actual TV ratings.
How many people watched?
Did you watch this as a kid or no?
I did.
Like
in
live?
1997. I did, because yeah. In 1997, that was the year, and I know that's because I was in seventh grade, was the year that I read The Shining.
Oh.
I was really big in the Stephen King. It's weird, right? Like, I just decided I was a Stephen King fan because I knew I liked horror movies. So, like, I'd be like, oh, I love Stephen King, but I've never read any of his books. So, my parents finally got me The Shining, and I read it that year, and that's when it came out. So,
that I watched it live on TV, and it was like an event, man. I remember, like, my dad was pumped because he loved Stephen King. So, it was a big to do. I was super stoked on this movie. So I'm curious to see what it looks like in through my eyes in 2024. I don't mind episode one. I like episode one, actually. I think one's pretty good.
Yeah. Good setup.
Where I was going to look this up, I just didn't have time because we're recording kind of short notice. Where does this fall in terms of the amount of time in the original movie was one thing I wanted to see. Like, I feel like we might only be like 15 minutes in to the original movie where we are here. Do you know what I'm saying? Where this ends, which is like not very far. Cause I mean, there's a lot of added stuff, obviously, but it is interesting to think about where this lines up with the movie. And I feel like it's like 15, 20 minutes in max.
Right. That's a good question.
Cause we're only just arriving. This ends on night one, which, by the way, is the longest night in the history of nights. We'll talk about that. So, like, it's a weird thing to think about. But anyway,
it made me like, I know this is an insane statement, but it made me for a brief moment be like, why don't we just do everything as a miniseries if you want to adapt shit? Like biopics, how can you cram in a person's entire life into 90 minutes, right?
It's fucking
like,
ridiculous.
A book adaptation like this, especially a King book. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I fucking, it makes me nuts. Like, I just finished rewatching The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan thing. Could you imagine trying to do that in a movie? Like
a movie?
It needed six parts. Like, it was perfect. Like, you have to, like some of these things, you gotta let it air out. I wonder what this would have looked like on, like, a Netflix, though, because I feel like it would have been six episodes, like 45 minutes each. And I think that would have been better.
If the Flanagan verse could have tapped into this
universe, he'll do it. He'll fucking do it, and then like somehow make it about PTSD and families or something. And Stephen King will have a new target to abuse. I'm just kidding, guys. I like Mike Flanagan. He's great. I don't love the term Flanagan-verse.
Dude, he did Dr. Sleep. That's
right. He did do Dr. Sleep.
So he did the sequel.
Yeah, that goofball movie, which I caught some flack for people thought I was making fun of it, which I guess I was. But also,
no.
It's a fine movie. I'm fine with it. But it, I mean,
not as much flack as you got for liking Roadhouse.
Which is, that was a lot of flack. That was a lot of flack. But hey, I'm going to shout out my boy DJ Intel from Chicago for having my back on that. He was like, Roadhouse was fun, which now that I'm saying that out loud, might've just been like, hey man, it's like, he just knew that I was probably getting railed on. Just keep your chin up, buddy. Roadhouse was fun. No, but people were giving me shit. Anyway. So let's go through this episode quickly. We open to Jack Torrance at the hotel. We start at the hotel, like from the jump, which I was like, oh, that's interesting. We're already looking at a boiler, and we start this off just immediately in the most Stephen King thing of all time, learning about a boiler firsthand, telling us about the pressure release valves on the boiler. Guy looks like one of Joe's dad's handymen that he sends over to Joe's house.
Do you hear that?
No.
Oh my God. So they just started playing in the background. I didn't even click on anything. It scared the shit out of me. Whew, sorry about that. Yes. It does look like one of my dad's handymen.
Just showing up to your basement being like, you got to release the pressure valve. You're being like, okay, thanks.
except if one of my dad's handymen ever blew their nose in his vicinity, he would have them forcibly removed and never contact them again.
That's true. So also the, you know what, this, the one thing that I didn't love about this first episode was the amount of very direct foreshadowing.
Sure. Like, too on the nose,
almost like winking at the camera. Like, even like this boiler scene, like you're just like, okay, what's going to happen with this boiler? Cause they're like, make sure the boiler, you release it. And you're like, okay, well, that's going to be
not only that, in that very same scene, he's like, but are there any ghosts in this hotel? And the guy, like you said, winking at the camera, it's like he does that pulling on his collar, like, ghosts. No, what makes you say that?
he's like, every hotel has its secrets. And then they talk about the woman who slit her wrists in room 217. And then he's like, and then there was old Grady. And Steven Weber's like, well, what happened to him? And he's like, I can't talk about that. And you're like, wait, what the f-? Steven Weber's like, what? And Steven Weber does not even press it. And the guy's like, okay, listen, that guy also fucking killed himself. And he's, by the way, he's telling that story with the biggest smile on his face of all time. Like, he's bringing such joy. This is the weirdest fucking moment. Can't talk about that, but if you're forcing me to.
just riddling off. I've never seen a group of people more obsessed with like scaring each other, like actually terrifying each other than in this movie. Specifically to Danny. Everyone is just like going up to Danny and being like, "You want to hear the most terrifying shit of all time?" Danny's like, "Not really." And they're like, "Okay, well, good luck." And you're like, "What the fuck?"
To be fair, look at Danny's face.
Oh yeah, that was the joke I wrote down that I was like, oh, maybe this is what that guy was talking about, like when he said we were mean or cruel or whatever. But I was like, I wrote down the comment that I was like, does Danny know how to close his mouth?
I've never seen the upper lip like. It's not just like a raise. It goes up. I can't even describe.
It's like a duck bill. It's like a duck bill. Anyway.
But he wasn't on Duck Man.
Can you make sure that they cast the wrong guy? They were like, get that guy from The Shining.
They just assumed it was Stephen Weber, not the kid that looks like a duck.
This is the stupidest joke we've ever made. People are I just want to pull up that kid's Wikipedia and make sure he's doing okay.
Oh, he's doing great.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, he's great. He's a good looking guy.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Good for him. Oh, dude, he's still working.
He's in Little Rascals. He was
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was in Hellraiser Bloodline that we covered. He's Jack Merchant.
Oh shit! Well, look at him. He's got that Jamie Foxx show money from one episode. Oh, he was in Coach, dude. The circle of like 97 working actors is there's like a 6 degrees of separation, and it's all my favorite shit. It's Coach. It's Wings. Like they touched everything.
Yes.
Love that shit. All right. But where were we? Anyway, oh yeah, his face. It's not great. But it's aggravating at best. Do you think other people feel this way or is it just us? Like, are we just...
We're for sure going to get yelled at.
Okay. All right, I'm not going to... I won't hijack this. Okay, anyway, we meet the owner of the Stanley, who we already talked about, Elliot Gould, and he gives Jack the rundown of the place while also simultaneously just ripping him to shreds about being an alcoholic. Like, Steve Weber's like, yeah, I was an alcoholic. Like, he's owning up to it. He's like, but I've been clean. And this guy's like, okay, whatever you say, pal. He's like, alcoholics are never clean if there's a bottle nearby. And then it confesses to this guy that he beat the shit out of a kid, which...
Yes.
Yeah. Not what you want to do on a job interview. You want to try and avoid those things.
That's probably like top 10 things to not say on a job interview.
It might be in the top 5. Sure. Beating up a child is like nuts. A child that you're really... in the care of, right? They're in the care of you as a teacher. He was a professor.
Right. And then it shows the flashback, like it's supposed to justify the beating. And you're like, you could have just like been like, hey, stop that.
And and the beating, like, dude, Stephen King's imprint. I just love when you know it's actually a Stephen King story because you're like, who else would put a scene of a man... I thought when they said beat up a kid, like, you know, you'd like threw him on the ground or something. We watch him like throw him on the ground, mount him, and then just start blows to the fucking face of a child, a grown man. It was fucking nuts. I was like, yeah, there's Stephen King. There he is. Just some weird fucking child abuse to just throw in there. But yeah, not great. Not great to do in a... Not great to do in a job interview. We then meet Wendy and Danny.
We get flashbacks to Jack being a drunk piece of shit. He hits Danny, breaks Danny's arm. And I remember these vividly as a kid, because this was actually like scarier than the movie to me. I was like, oh my God, like fucking abuse like that. And it's like parents beat the shit out of their kids like that. Fucking blew my hair back.
Yeah. Especially like you said, you're watching that on ABC with your parents.
Yes.
You know, you're like, oh shit.
Which I saw there was a note where it was like, to get this made, they had to like get approval from the ratings board or like the broadcast standards to allow them to like kind of go over the edge of what was allowed on network TV. So probably should have put a warning on it, but that's okay. Danny starts hearing voices and we meet Tony, who was also in the original, but we didn't see Tony in the original. In this one, Tony
better,
is
better that way.
Tony looks like a character from a Disney Channel original movie. Dude, floating like, around.
Couldn't agree more. Like all I could think of was Clarissa Explains It All. Yeah, oh, friend that just climbing up the ladder. Like,
hey, no, Sean climbs up the ladder. Ferguson's the little brother.
Wait, Sean's the name of the kid in
yeah.
Clarissa?
Yeah, he's the friend.
Huh. Why did I think it was Ferguson?
Ferguson's the brother.
Oh, Fergface. That's
Fergface.
Yeah. My bad. our buddy Mike is punching the air right now.
Also, if the character's name isn't Sean and Clarissa Explains It All, the actor's name is. I just know Sean is somehow involved in that. But
you're right. It's Sam. It's
Sam.
The actor's name is Sean.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's don't know why I know that, but there you go. Danny's. Oh yeah, did we meet Tony, who's floating around, and is like. We like cut to Danny Vision where Danny's like, oh God, it's Tony again. And then we like watch Tony floating around being like, hey, Danny, turning street signs from like yield to like skull and crossbones and being like,
dude, that's not an exaggeration. What? That's like, what he's doing. What? Just by like waving his hand over it is literally a yield sign.
Magic tricks. Doing parlor tricks to Danny in Ghost World.
And like the score in the original Shining is haunting, right? And this one's just like when he does his magic tricks, dun dun dun. Like, oh my God.
Man, he's also showing him visions of the Overlook, including a fire hose with teeth.
that was something.
You know, I thought I liked this episode, but this might be one of the few moments where I'm like, we explain it and we're like, this is fucking insane. What are we talking about? We're comparing this to Stanley Kubrick, like fucking masterful vision. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back here. All right, we're back. So yeah, Danny's got these visions. The one thing that I found interesting. It was weird. Wendy and Jack acknowledge Danny's gift in this, like, this moment very early on. And to the point where Steven Weber calls him Little Kreskin, who was a mentalist, you know, like, practice ESP and all these things. And Wendy replies back, you know, he didn't come from outer space. Like that power didn't come from outer space. Maybe I have it too. Which is weird because later in the movie, when he starts showing them, I guess a little bit more from what we're aware of, they're like, what the fuck is going on here? This fucking kid. Like what, what are these superpowers? What? Like, did you not both acknowledge that this was already a thing?
Right.
It was a little odd. It was a little odd. Steven Weber's fucking mind is blown, like, later. He calls him Kreskin here. Okay. Anyway, plenty of flashbacks. just to go around. They're just showing flashbacks all the time. Anyway, they head up to the Overlook. More foreshadowing, just focus, camera dead stop on a topiary while the menacing music plays. And by the way, you don't even need to foreshadow that, because in fucking 15 minutes, Dick is going to show up and be like, beware of the topiaries.
Yeah, he does. And then we watch Steven make topiary vagina jokes.
Just fucking in front of his kid.
To Dan, dude, not in front of his, he's specifically talking to Danny. Like, I used to trim this lady's edges before your mom.
I got into her topiaries. And Danny's like, did she have nice hedges, Daddy? And he's like, oh, did she? And Wendy's just there.
Actually, I think that was my favorite dialogue in the entire episode.
I agree.
Honestly, a Roddy Dangerfield bit. Hey, I used to trim her edges.
I honestly feel like that might not have even been in the script. Just Steven Weber's reaction to it just felt so genuine. And when he was like, oh, yeah, I did. It's like, holy shit. This might have happened.
He's been waiting his entire life to compare topiary to vagina.
Using topiary as a innuendo for some lady's vagina. Ah, that's fucking rich. That's fucking rich. Where are we here? We were right there with the hedges right there. We meet Dick Halloran here, who immediately notices Danny's powers, but he is going to Florida. And a real similar, there are a lot of similarities, by the way. So I think Stephen King should have probably been a little bit, I mean, we still have two episodes to go, but maybe he should have toned his thing down. Because there's some of these scenes that are almost scene for scene the same thing.
Right.
The Dick Halloran stuff here where, you know, he's calling him Doc and very faithful to the movie, but that's whatever.
I love how he called them the nickname and the parents are like, how did you know we called them that?
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know. How did I know? I must have heard you. I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Checks out.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Also, you know, the first one, it couldn't be more of a winter movie. Like, from the get-go, you're like, man,
yes.
This is the fucking winter, right?
Yeah.
Did anything in this episode, they might have showed snow. I don't know.
No.
It had, like, such little winter feel to it.
That's actually a great fucking point. Actually, that's fucking bizarre now that you mention it, because I think they might have even been outside with like no jackets on.
Yeah, they're playing croquet at some point, aren't they?
Yeah, but even when the family comes up and they're like about ready, like Wendy's like, oh, I had to get my last shopping trip in. Looks like it's 75 degrees outside. I think she's in a fucking dress, like a short, like a summer dress. That's actually a good point. Because I feel like Jack Torrance was wearing that fucking gross tan jacket from the moment you see him, where he's just like,
yeah,
he looks
for sure.
He looks frozen.
Yeah, the last scene, he just looked like that the entire movie. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's an interesting thought, and it's even weirder because I actually have this note in here because I was going to talk to you about something about it, but. The guy is talking to them and is like, from the months of October till March, you're locked up in here because the weather's so bad. I was like, what? Is there even a place in America where the snow is that bad? October to March, you're not leaving the house? That seems like a stretch. Yeah, 30, and then what month?
30 days a night in town. Yeah.
And what month is it now where the weather is this good? Right. Because August is still, you know, imagine their busy season, but.
Yeah.
Mick Garris could have, sharpened his pencil a bit, I feel like. Maybe a little bit, but that's all right. Dick Halloran tells him, you shine on, boy, harder than anyone I've ever met. So immediately being introduced to that term, the shining, he gets Danny to test his powers. He breaks a car light. And also Danny's like, oh, by the way, I did this once at a basketball game. And we watch him Shaq attack a fucking basketball backboard with his brain at a basketball game because he got so excited. Shaq attack was crazy that period of time.
For sure.
That was wild. Everyone wanted to do it.
Remember the Shaq Sega Genesis game?
Shaq Fu?
Yes. Yes. Great. I have nothing to add to that. I just want to make sure you remembered it.
Remember when Buzz thought Shaq attacking hoops was hilarious? And all it was pulling down somebody's basketball hoop and just leaving it there. But it's not even damaging, like gently putting it down.
Yeah, and he would do it on like lowered hoops that were like five.
You know, feet. Yes. You had to lower
for like kids. Yeah. making you lower it so you could knock it over.
Fucking
and screaming Shaq attack at the top of his lungs.
One time one of our tall friends, because he would do it to like strangers' basketball hoops. Like if we were in your neighborhood at a party, he would do it to like a neighbor's. But of course, they had not everyone's basketball hoop was lowered to 5'10". No, that's probably too tall. Also, 5'6". Not everyone had them lowered. So he would have our friend Thule, who's very tall, pull it down, like lower it from the rim and hold it like at an angle so he could run and jump and scream Shaq attack.
Scream Shaq attack, yeah.
Anyway, there's your Buzz story. By the way, I forgot we did not talk about the mansion ghost in Patreon. So we have to do that. We're not going to record a bonus tonight because I'm too fucking tired. But I'm putting in my notes because we have to tell that story. That story is so fucking good. And we got The Shining. It's so good. It's too fucking good. Anyway, unless you want to tell it on the show one day because just to make sure everyone hears it, then I'm fine with that also because the more people that hear it, the better, I think. Anyway, Jack and Wendy get a tour, and this is where I was like, oh man, this would be kind of a sweet gig because their fridge is just stocked with food, and like Dick Halloran went out of the way and like pre-packaged like their holiday meals. And I was like, man, that sounds pretty fucking sick. Like getting locked in a cabin for a few months, but all the food is there. You don't have to ever go grocery shopping. Yeah, but then he explains the October to March thing, and I was like, oh, you know what? Fuck that. I would lose my fucking mind. Dick then explains to Danny all the things going on at the hotel that people with The Shining will experience, like room 217, the topiaries, etc. He's like, he is like, you're going to see some of the scariest shit you've ever seen in your life. But it's fine. And Danny's like, oh boy, I don't know about that. And Dick Halloran's like, it's fine. You have a good head on your shoulders. You'll be fine.
That's pretty much like verbatim what he says.
Imagine saying that.
And then when Danny's having like an episode where he's seeing a spooky man, which calling that spooky is debatable, but Dick's just like, just count to 10. Honestly, Dick is scarier than anything Danny's seeing.
This is my note here, which is like,
what we know Dick sees in the in the hotel, right? We know what he sees because we've seen it in the last movie or whatever. So we know what he's seeing. And he's like, hey, kid, it's a little spooky, but don't worry about it. Like, if you knew what you saw, you'd be like, listen, you can't be here. You cannot leave a kid here. You gotta fucking leave. But yeah, no, Dick is terrifying. And again, you know, it's a Stephen King movie because even though Wendy and Jack just went on a tour, Dick Halloran's like, would you like another tour of the place? That's not even a fucking joke. That is exactly what happens. And then they're like, yeah, sure. I couldn't believe, I thought they were going to be like, oh no, we just took one. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And we go on another tour of the fucking Shining with Wendy and Jack. And Danny starts seeing zombies. Well, like pictures turning into zombies, like it's Elliot Gould's picture and it turns into a zombie.
Yep.
And everyone is trying to ruin this kid. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Like they get into an elevator and Dick is like, hey, don't worry, Doc. It's plenty safe. And fucking Jack Torrance is like, yeah, that's what they said about the Titanic too. Like, come on. What are we fucking making this kid fucking the most anxious kid on earth? Also, that line reminded me of your dad. That was like, yeah, that was like your dad to a T.
You just saying that honestly gave me chills. And also making him the most anxious kid. That is what's going to happen to him. I can speak from experience.
Joe can attest. Somebody being like, yeah, don't worry, it's safe. And your father being like, it's absolutely not fucking safe.
Yeah, we're reminds me of this time. Yeah.
Reminds me of a terrible
why it's not safe. Travesty. Yeah. That he somehow has pictures of. He just showed me the aftermath.
Joe, this is what could happen if you go in this elevator. Unrelated to an elevator. Horror incident.
People think that's like, that we're exaggerating. That's honestly happened to me multiple times as a kid where he had terrible, terrible pictures in his possession of gruesome deaths. Be like, this is what happens if you don't wear your helmet. I just want a snack, man.
You'll leave your room for a snack and that's what you fucking get. It's fucking funny. That's so fucking funny. All right, one last break and we'll be right back to wrap up the Shining miniseries. All right, we're back talking the Shining miniseries. I was laughing on the way out as we went to that break because I was just thinking about how we would go to breaks in the April Fool's Day episode. It made me laugh. Just having to say that we'll be back to talk about the Shining was fucking amazing. I that is some of our best work. I don't care what anyone says. Not saying, dude, not getting within like 3 minutes of the credits. Like that's the furthest we went into it.
Yeah, that was good.
That's pretty fucking solid. Anyway, you guys wouldn't believe the amount of work it took to do that. Anyway, they go on their tour. Danny sees the hose that he saw earlier, as well as visions of insane fucking murders. Just in his visions, in his head. I have another Danny joke written down here, but I'm not going to do it. But anyway, Dick leaves the family and he says a little prayer for them, especially the boy. He says, take care of the boy. This episode really is kind of unnecessarily long, right?
Okay, so while I don't disagree that it didn't have to be 90 minutes, I was I was fine. I know we're being a little overly critical, but I was fine with how they set up episode one because it made me rewatching it be like, I can't wait to see where they go from here.
That's true.
I can't wait to tune in for the next one.
That's true.
This was the setup. Now we could, the next two should be like in your face.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I hope we're not coming off as overly critical. I mean, it's silly. Some of the things we're saying out loud is silly. It's sometimes you say shit that you watch on TV and you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But
It's the only way you can explain it, but it comes off better when you're watching it.
I don't know. So like in that moment, I'm like, that would have been a cool endpoint for this episode. But we get, well, I guess there is some stuff that is worth seeing here. I don't know. It's a little weird. So that's a great endpoint. Dick leaves, goes down to Florida. But now, by the way, I thought this episode was going to end like four times. I wrote down, and it ends with this. And then it kept going. I was like, oh, fuck. And then I wrote, oh, and it ends with this. And then it kept going. And I think it was like the commercial breaks that were fucking me up. I think it was like they were setting up for commercial breaks, not the end of the episode, but they were like kind of wrapping something up to go to commercial. I think that's what it was, because I kept being like, wait, I thought that was the fucking end. But anyway, so the Torrances now are the only ones here, right? Yes. And the first thing Jack decides to do is spray a hornet's nest with chemicals and then gift it to Danny.
Danny, yeah. Choking. So stupid. Oh, fuck.
It's crazy because Wendy's like, are you sure that's safe? And he's like, yeah, they're all fucking dead. Hey, that's great. You literally just sprayed that with poison. Like, who? And 97 bug poison is that good shit.
For sure.
Kill a whole family if you brought it inside. But anyway, he gives it to Danny as a present. The family seems very happy. Wendy claims it's the happiest she's been since Danny was born. So you got that. Jack is busy working on his play. He's trying to be a playwright. And Danny and Wendy are getting ready for bed until Danny's little ghost friend Tony shows up again and greets Danny in his bathroom and is like, hey, buddy, lock the door. And Danny's like, I don't know, but he locks the door anyway. When Wendy and Jack can't get in, they open the door and Danny's having like a seizure. He's foaming at the mouth. His eyes are rolled back. Terrifying scene for a parent, right? Mm-hmm. And then Danny's like, get the gun. Talking about an axe. It's fucking wild. And in this moment, well, actually, it's before Danny even says that. Jack Torrance is shaking him. This kid's having a seizure. By all accounts, you're like, oh, this kid's having a fucking seizure. Like, this is a medical Correct. Emergency.
Eyes are in the back of his head.
Medical yeah. emergency. He's shaking him, being like, will you just fucking stop
it? Snap out of it.
Yeah. Quit it, you fucking idiot. That, of course, doesn't work. Then Danny says that stuff. And then Danny comes to and is like, it was fucking Tony. Like, Tony was here. And Jack gets so mad, he fucking slams Danny's head into a toilet.
Toilet, yeah.
A fucking porcelain, dude.
It would hurt. But,
and we were worried that Jack Nicholson was portrayed as crazy. This guy is out of his fucking gourd.
Yes.
And he's like, shut the fuck up about to. Slams his head into the toilet. It's fucking wild. But again, to your point, Wendy is like, don't ever fucking come near me or my son ever fucking again. But they patch it up. They do patch it up. And everyone's happy again. And Jack goes and tucks Danny into bed. And this actually might be one of my favorite moments, because Danny's like, you're not going to hurt me anymore, right, Daddy? And Jack's like, oh, yeah, buddy, I'm sorry. Like, definitely not. And he's like, and you don't drink stuff from the bottle anymore, right, Daddy? And like, Jack's like, no. He's like, that's because of those meetings you go to, right? Like, dude, this kid is fucking grinding his
fucking... Dude, pushing his buttons.
pushing his luck, man.
Just reminding Jack of how big of a drunk he is. doing a Bugs Bunny routine. And as Danny is falling asleep, he tells Jack about Denver Croquet, something that Jack only learned from the owner, which was just croquet with what? Big stuff, big mallets and big balls.
Sounds right.
And he also says that he was told to stay away from the mallets. Ooh. Here's where I thought part one ended. With Danny being like, he's like falling asleep and he's like looking. It honestly reminded me of like people, like when you're a little kid and you fake die and you're like, I'm dying. Like you're like, you say like way too much information as you're dying. Danny's supposedly falling asleep and is like, make sure you look in your wallet behind your driver's license. There's a picture in there. Talks for 5 minutes as he's drifting to sleep. He's like, and hey, guess what? The picture's in there. The picture's in there. That's not the end, though. The clock strikes midnight, and everything in the parlor room starts turning on. You start hearing music playing and voices. Thought that was the end. It was not the end. Then we come back. And by the way, I'm not knocking it, because I know I've done that bit before on a movie that's, like, taking too long. I was actually fine with it, but I just kept thinking that was the end.
Yeah, it'd be a good place to end it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's definitely the end. And then it was just like a Wendy shows up, and you're like, oh, shit, okay, hey, we're going on to a whole other scene. And we meet, and Wendy and Jack are in bed, and Wendy's like, if that happens again, we have to take him to the doctor. And Jack is like, if that happens again, I'm shipping you to your mother's. And I thought they were going to have a moment of, like, brevity. Like, okay, Jack, you fucking dog. And instead she's like, you fucking piece of shit, I hate my mother. And I was like, what the f-? This is fucking nuts. There's no brevity in that at all. Like, it was, like, really rough. You're like, holy fuck. And then... So I wrote this down and I was like, this is the most insane night of all time. On a first night of a trip. Most insane first night of all time. But I was like, man, isn't that always how it happens though? Like if you like go on a trip or something, it's always just like everything just happens on one night. And like, you're just like, fuck this. I'm just going home, packing up everyone and going home.
Can attest. Our first family vacation ever. Tina got like the most severe food poisoning of all time. And I was like, holy, this is night one. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, this night ends with Danny waking up screaming because he's being attacked by a nest of hornets. What a fucking nightmare. And they get that all figured out. They bring Danny. And Jack is like running around, like he's doing all sorts of shit. And then he's like, he finds a camera and he's like, exactly what I was looking for. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? And he's like, all right, hold out your arms. And he's like taking pictures of their bee stings, these hornet stings. And Wendy's like, what are you doing? And Jack's like, we're gonna fucking get this pesticide company for everything they got. I'm thinking $5,000 a sting. So his big plan is to take Polaroid photos of his bee stings, send it to the company and be like, you owe me $100,000 for all these hornet stings.
I sprayed this hornet's nest and then put it in my son or my son's
bedroom. Minutes after spraying it, I gave it to my son as a gift. And lo and behold, the hornets were not dead. Anyway, we see some chairs all fall off the table. And then more exterior shot. And that was the other thing that kept throwing me off, I think, about the ending, was it would just cut to outside the Stanley.
Yes.
And you'd be like, oh, this is the end. And then it just wasn't.
But it does end here with Outside the Stanley, but very ominous music, like dong, 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 dong.
Zoomed in on a croquet mallet.
And that's the end of episode one of the Shining miniseries from 1997. I'm excited.
I am too.
It's a good show. I got fond memories of it. We can talk more about the other members of the cast in the next couple episodes and the TV ratings, which were interesting. But yeah, no, it's an interesting take.
Yeah, I agree
on it. I might have to try to read the fucking book now. How long is it? Is it one of those fucking long guys?
It's not overly long.
Oh, really?
When, I mean, again, I read it in 1997, but it did not, like, it was, I think over the course of a weekend, I finished it.
Yeah, well, some of us.
That's pre-internet. I didn't have shit else to do.
I know. Fuck. It's so hard now. Oh, 672 pages. That ain't bad. Right? That's not crazy, right?
No, that's doable.
Okay. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll have Steven Weber read it to me. Oh, I started saying that. Steven Weber did an audiobook for It that I listened to. The guy's an audiobook king. Dude.
Is he?
Yeah, he does tons of audiobooks. Soothing voice, that guy.
He does.
Yeah. I should probably also, maybe I'll try to look up some, there's got to be like promotional videos and interviews with these guys. It was a big deal.
Yeah. It was. I'm just going to watch Duckman prior to episode.
Well, actually, I might also. I might actually go put it on right now.
I'm thinking about putting it on before.
Duckman was so disturbing. It was like one of those. It was a show where you were like, I don't think I should be watching this as a kid. You know what I mean? It was like that level of weird. Do you remember there was the two little Care Bear bears that worked in his office and he would just like, they would murder each other or accidentally get murdered? They'd like fall into paper shredders and just be like, ah, and like blood would be everywhere. It was fucking weird. It was so weird. And the disgusting grandmother duck.
Dude.
In the wheelchair.
The grossest.
Dude, the grossest. Fucking vile. The whole thing was vile. And just think, that fucking, what's his name? George Costanza.
Jason Alexander
is, I feel like that was after Seinfeld, right? Or during?
No, it was like peak Seinfeld.
Okay, so I guess I would do that too if I was like peak. It would be a bummer if you went from Seinfeld to Duckman is what I was going for. But like if you're already on the hottest show in the world, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do Duckman.
The Care Bear, one of the Care Bear's names is George Herbert Walker Chicken. George H.W. Chicken. Voiced by Tim Curry.
Oh, wait.
No. Fluffy and Uranus. Sorry.
Fluffy and Uranus. Yes.
George Herbert Walker King Chicken is a different character voiced by Tim Curry.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's still a real funny name.
How did they get Tim Curry on it? And then there was the kids. There was twins. Oh, wasn't there like a? There were twins. They were Siamese twins.
Yeah. They shared a bot, a torso.
And then I feel like there was like a big dumb kid, a large dumb child. I'm going off of memory here.
Yeah, Charles. Yeah, Charles.
Duckman was like a thing for me. I really fucking loved Duckman as a kid.
And Frank Zappa's son did Joe Friday's voice. Is Duckman's business partner.
That's not the pig, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm gonna pull it up. Is it Duckman characters? Talk about a No, corn fed. All right. Well, anyway, I'm sure you guys are thrilled to hear about Duckman.
Stay tuned to next week. We'll talk about Count Duckula.
Tune in next week when we're going to hash out The Critic.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Also on my Plex server.
Fuck yeah.
It stinks. Remember when he showed up on The Simpsons? Okay. All right. Anyway, cartoons.
I do.
Big fan of cartoons. I had no friends. Cartoons were everything to me. Anyway, let's end this episode. We got The Shining coming up. Do you have a bonus episode this week?
Yes. I'm like a week behind, but that's life. So yeah. We'll get it this week. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Ooh, JCVD. Double team.
That's right.
Am I supposed to say that or should I edit that out?
I said it. No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay, okay. Double team. Ah, fuck, I should watch that.
It's on Tubi.
Double team. JCVD's. We could talk about that another time. Anyway. You know what? People can, whatever. I'll talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about.
That's right.
It's my fucking show. Get the fuck out of here. All right. That's it, guys. T-shirts are in. They've arrived. So I will start packing those up and sending those out. So thank you all y'all who pre-ordered those. They came out awesome. So enjoy those. Patreon.com/IHateHorror. IHateHorror.com. Instagram @IHateHorror. No live show this week or this month. We will be doing one in May for the Stannies. So tune in. I have to try and get an answer out of Paul for May. Why can't he just like commit instead of being like, well, probably. Like I just need a day.
Dude, that's how he is in every aspect of life. They just announced that there's a metal festival, hardcore festival, New England Metal and Hardcore Festival. Just came back last year. I sent it to him because his favorite bands of all time, like three of the four of his favorite bands of all time are on that bill. So I sent it to him. He responded to me with something completely idiotic. Then I answered him, didn't get a response, and he sends me the copy of the lineup that I already sent him. And I was like, didn't I send this to you? And he goes, yeah, with a question mark. Like, I'm the asshole for asking that. I'm like, what does that mean? Do you want to go or not? And he still hasn't given me an
answer. Didn't respond.
No.
Well, hopefully we can get him on for the Stannies. At this point, it's whatever. We'll just do whatever we got to do. That's that. We do have some live shows. We are in the process of booking those. So stay tuned for more information on those. So we've reached out to the venues. Hopefully see something soon. Don't want to commit to which cities and when, but you'll be seeing us. Chicago for sure, of course.
No doubt.
Within the end of the year.
I'll be in Chicago this month.
You will.
Come say hi.
So go say hi to Joe at his office.
Link it up with DJ Intel. First night there. Oh, seeing Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill. In Chicago. It's sold out, so I'm waiting for tickets to become available. Getting in.
How old are they?
Ancient. I can't wait.
I felt like they were old when they had their hits.
30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Well, that'll be fun. Anyway, we'll give out Joe's business address. You can visit him while he's working.
Bring me some Illuminatis.
Oh. Wait, why does that sound like
Illuminati?
Yeah.
Because you know the answer.
All right. Sendog is 58 years old.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy. Okay. That's nuts. Anyway, everyone, thank you all so much for listening. Thanks to Joe for doing the show. For Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. I die. Movies all fucking day. I wanna play. I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch. Dismember. A fucking zombie getting sliced and diced. The monster.